Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How are you guys this morning?
Wonderful.
Good, good, good. Some of you are doing really well. I love that. And some of you, I'm sure, are walking in with weightiness, as we often do, enter these doors in different spaces at different times, as we come in sometimes lighthearted, sometimes heavy, and we gather here in this space to be reminded together of the extraordinary wonders of our King Jesus and all that he's done for us, so that we would remember who we are and what our story really is. Not what our chapter is today, but what our story is that we're in. Today is a particular Sunday in the historical church calendar that holds some incredible significance. In the historical calendar of the church, on this particular Sunday each year, we gather up all over the world as the church, and we celebrate what we call Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is a Sunday set aside in the calendar to be reminded and to celebrate the reality that we who follow Jesus, who have come to know Jesus as our Savior and have placed our faith in Jesus, are the recipients of the Holy Spirit, who empowers us, who enables us, who comforts us, who helps us, who leads us, who teaches us, who does so many things for us, so that regardless of whatever circumstances we might find ourselves in, lighthearted ones or heavy ones, that we are now empowered and enabled by God himself, by his Holy Spirit, in us, to allow us to walk into those circumstances in a manner that will actually display who we belong to, that we belong to Jesus. So it's an incredible Sunday to just be reminded of that. But what is profound about the coming of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit entering into the individuals who know and follow Jesus, and therefore the collective of those individuals called the church, the point, the reason for the Spirit of God to enter into us and enable us is not primarily to comfort us or to keep us or to hold us. It is, in fact, primarily for something profoundly more amazing than that, though those things happen also. Listen to this. This is recorded in the documentary or the gospel that John wrote. John was an eyewitness to the things of Jesus, traveled with him, one of his disciples. And John is sitting in a meal with Jesus, the last meal that Jesus would have with his disciples before his death and resurrection. He'd have some meals with them after his resurrection, but before his resurrection, this is the last one. And he's having a dialogue with the disciples at this meal, instructing them on what they should expect going forward, because they hardly know that he's about to go through an arrest, a crucifixion, a death, and a resurrection. And so they're in for quite a shock, and he's preparing them to know what's to come, not just during that time, but beyond. And he says this in John chapter 15, in verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send you from the Father, who is this Helper? It says it right here. The Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he, the Spirit, will bear witness about me. So Jesus says, the Spirit of God is going to come to do what? To bear witness, to make known who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, and to convict and call and compel the human heart and mind to come and place their faith in Jesus. He is going to witness of the gospel of Jesus. And he says this, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So he says to them that when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to come to bear witness, and that those who receive the Holy Spirit will then join the Holy Spirit in bearing witness of the extraordinary gospel of Jesus Christ, so that human beings who do not know Jesus can come to know him and place their faith in him, because if you don't know Jesus, you are bound, you are in darkness, and you are in death, and your destiny is hell. That's just a real thing. What we believe or don't believe about that has no bearing or relevance on whether or not it is true. That is a real thing. And the gospel of Jesus Christ the work of Jesus, what Jesus has done for us, comes to save us from our destiny of death and our current reality of death. And so Jesus says, my spirit is gonna witness to this, and you are gonna witness with him as he comes and empowers you. In the book of Acts, after that supper is over, Jesus is crucified, he rises from the dead, he hangs out with some folks beyond that. And then in the book of Acts in chapter 1, another documentary written by Luke, who was also engaged in all this, it says this in verse 8 of chapter 1, Jesus speaking, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus says, when the Spirit comes, who's going to be my witness, and you're going to witness with him, he's actually going to come and he's going to empower you to witness where? Everywhere on planet Earth, where there are humans, we are going to be able to show and demonstrate the beauty of the gospel. Paul is one who is the recipient of these witnesses empowered by the Spirit. The disciples are empowered by the Spirit in Acts chapter 2. They preach the gospel and the power of the Spirit. Thousands come to know Jesus as the Spirit awakens them. Then they become recipients of the Holy Spirit, and this grand community becomes a witness to the gospel. A man named Paul at that time does not follow Jesus. And because of this witness and then an encounter he has with Jesus, later on he comes to know Jesus. And he writes a letter to the church in Corinth later on, and he says this in this letter. For I delivered to you, this is Paul speaking, as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for the sins, for our sins, in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and that he raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared also to me, Paul. So Paul says, there is a thing that is of most importance. As you and I, who have come to know Jesus and placed our faith in him, are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses along with Jesus, there is something of first importance when we are witnessing of Jesus as we encounter the circumstances of our life, the lighthearted ones, the heavy ones. We are now empowered to encounter those circumstances so that they do not dictate our well-being nearly as much as they once did, but that they become opportunities for us to witness of who we are in Christ despite circumstance. All of that, this call to be witnesses, is now one that says, of first importance, when we are being witnesses, we are hoping that people who don't know Jesus come to know him. Do we want the life of Jesus through the church to bring justice where there is injustice? Yes. Yes. Do we want it to rescue people who are enslaved by other people? Yes. Do we want this reality to bring mercy where there is suffering? Yes. Yes, we want all of that, and we're going to strive for all of that. But of first importance is not those things. Of first importance is that people would encounter Jesus. They would come to know who he is and what he's done and what that means for them, and they would be compelled to put their faith in Jesus so that they would be saved. That is of first importance. That's what Paul says. I write to you of what is most important. And what the witness is that we get to be is to those who do not know Jesus, we get to show them what Jesus has done. And what has Jesus done? Paul writes it here. Adam and Eve, our early ancestors, made a choice in the early part of our human story, and they chose their own way, their own direction, their own divinity. They wanted to know their own stuff, and they didn't want anything to do with what God was doing. They were deceived into this lie. They ate of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, hoping by the lie told to them that they would be empowered, that they would become divine, and they would be self-reliant, self-efficient, self-everything. They ate of that fruit and they did not get divinity. They did not get empowerment. They did not get strength. They got this thing called sin, like a virus. It entered into their story and the story of creation and our story. And that virus of sin is at work in you and me and this world and this universe every day to bring about what viruses bring about, death. And that is our plight. That's what we're stuck with. And no matter how hard you or I work, there is no solving this virus of sin in us that is leading us to death. Until God said, I am going to solve this for you. Jesus comes to this planet. That's what Paul just said. He lived, he died for what? For our sins, he says. What does that mean? He took onto himself the virus that haunts you and I and brings us to death. He took it onto himself, and then it did to him what that virus does. It brought about death. But he defeated both the virus of sin and death by his resurrection, becoming the empowerment over both. And now the scripture says, when you or I encounter Jesus, and we understand that he is in fact God who came to this planet, who lived, died, and rose from the dead to die for my sins, take the virus from me and give me instead his righteousness and his life and his future. And I believe that, Paul writes in the book of Romans and says, any person who believes in their heart that Jesus is who he said he was and confesses with their mouth that he is, in other words, in community says, I believe in Jesus, that person is done with the virus sin as a consequence of eternal death. And that person is saved forever. That means that we move from having a future where our entire destiny is bondage and darkness and death and hell, and we are moved into a future where our future is in a place where God says in scripture, he will lavish upon us his kindness for all of the ages to come. You're not just getting a place that's nice and you fly around with little wings and you're a little angel. That's all a bunch of baloney. You get something 1,000 times better than all of that. You get to be the recipient of the full wonder of God and his kindness for all of eternity. There is no greater move from one place to another than from us as human beings without Jesus to us as human beings with Jesus. Are you with me? So, the entirety of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to me and to you who know Jesus is so that we might be witnesses to the world of the glorious wonder of Jesus and his work for us, so that we might see humans come to know him and be saved as we are saved because someone bothered to be a witness to us in the way they lived and the things that they shared. That's what we get to do. So, if that's what this is all about, that's why we do these things, then is it not fair to say that the thing we want to see most, the greatest display of the fruit of the joy and labor of being a witness empowered by the Spirit, is to see people come to know Jesus? Like, that's what I want to see. Injustice to justice, yes. Mercy for suffering, yes. But at the end of the day, humans that didn't know Jesus coming to know him so that they might be saved forever. That's the great fruit of the great labor. That's what we get to be part of. Today, we are going to celebrate baptisms. You know what baptisms are? That's right. No greater day to celebrate baptisms, I would say, than Pentecost Sunday, baby. Because the fruit of the coming of the Holy Spirit is that he would witness to the world of the glorious nature of Jesus, and his empowering of us is that we might be witnesses along with the other witnesses to show the world who Jesus is so that they might know life and light and freedom instead of darkness, death, and bondage. And so we get to go out and be this. In the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews writes in chapter 12, and he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, fixing our eyes on him, the founder and perfecter of our faith. What ends up happening now is that as we come to know Jesus, we join the great cloud of witnesses so that we might be among those who have witnessed before us and we might join them in the witnessing empowered by the Holy Spirit. In this act of baptism, something extraordinary unfolds. A people that have come to know Jesus get up publicly in obedience to Jesus as he had commanded, and they come before their biblical community and they say, I have been the recipient of a witness of Jesus. The Holy Spirit has awakened me and made me alive. I am now placing my faith in Jesus and have done that. And I join the great cloud of witnesses with you all, empowered by the Spirit, to go show the world who Jesus is. And do you know where that starts? Right here today. They join the great cloud as they become witnesses to us. If you are here today, we are going to baptize a lot of people. There's 44 people being baptized between the two gatherings today. 27 of them are in this one. So you might, yes, that's certainly worthy of celebration. You might be tempted around number 19 when things are going on like, oh my gosh, this is another baptism. Don't do that. Don't get lost in the reality of the sequence of things. Keep yourself fixed on what you're watching before you. If you are here and you don't know Jesus, you're going to watch people who have encountered Jesus share of how he has transformed their lives. And I would encourage you, pay close attention. We want you to know Jesus. There's no greater life to live than the one where you are saved by Jesus, and your eternity matters a great deal to us and to him. So watch, listen, and let them be witness to you of the glorious nature of what Jesus does for us. For those of you here that know Jesus and follow Jesus, this is the moment that Hebrews, the author of Hebrews, speaks of when he says, do not neglect gathering together, but stir one another up toward love and good deeds. May you, as you witness the fruit of this labor, these folks being baptized, may you be stirred up. May you be encouraged. May you just be like so excited, like, oh my gosh, this is the fruit we pray for. Is it not that people would know Jesus because they've encountered him through us? If you are in this church and you call this church home and you're a follower of Jesus, when you serve here, when you give of the resources God has given you here, when you engage in community here, celebrate today. The fruit of your labor is before you because you have given, because you have served, because you are in community. Children come to know Jesus in our kids' church. Students come to know Jesus in our student ministries. Young adults come to know Jesus in our young adult spaces. And adults come to know Jesus right here. And the donuts don't hurt. You know what I'm saying? So thank you, and celebrate today the fruit of every labor you have labored with us in as you've partnered in the gospel through your serving, your giving, and your joining community. This is the fruit. So celebrate the fruit. Be stirred up by the stories. Be reminded of why we wake up in the morning empowered by the Spirit to be witnesses of Jesus, regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in poverty or in prosperity, in sickness or in health, in hunger or in well-fed. It doesn't matter. We can be witnesses. We can be witnesses. Everything has changed because he has come and he is ours. So, what you're going to experience today is quite simple. In each of these pools, there will be an elder. We'll have Colin in one, and we'll have Jason in the other. As folks step into the pool of baptism, those elders will be asking them why they want to be baptized. We're not hoping that they know why. We have met with all of the folks here. They have confessed Jesus. We know where they stand, but this is their public confession of, I want to be baptized, man, because I follow Jesus now. You'll hear that in different ways. And then you'll see somebody baptizing each of these folks. Sometimes it's their small group leader, sometimes their parent, sometimes a friend, sometimes a mentor, sometimes a pastor. Whoever is involved in their spiritual journey most intimately is who is stepping in to baptize them and to be a part of the story. And then before they step into the baptism, you will have up here Matthew and Becca, and they will read a brief version of each person's story as to why they ended up here, how they encountered Jesus. Pay close attention to those stories. They are the witness of Jesus by his Spirit bringing people to himself. And celebrate in those stories the life that has come to them. And then let us celebrate with them as they step into baptism. What a glorious and wondrous morning it is to come around and celebrate with those who know Jesus and to be stirred up toward love and good deeds. And if you are here and you don't know Jesus, may the Spirit of God bring you to himself, because I want you to know Jesus, because there's nothing better in the world than knowing who Jesus is, what he's done for you, and putting your faith in him so that you might have eternal life and an utterly different temporal life, because he changes everything. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to celebrate a ton of baptisms this morning as people declare to you their biblical community. I'm in. I'm following Jesus. I'm a witness with you. Join me, lead me, show me, as we get to say the same to them. We're in. We're witnesses. Join us, lead us, and we will follow you as we all follow Jesus together. Let's pray. God, thank you for your incredible love for us. What a great thing, God, that you have included us as your people in being witnesses to the world of who you are, but not by our own power, not by the impossible realities of trying to be convincing to a human mind or heart, but just to participate with you, Holy Spirit, who is the one over hearts and minds, and that we get to join you as you witness of the glorious nature of the gospel. We are so grateful. And today we are grateful for the fruit of your witness to us, folks, children and adults being baptized today to say, I have encountered Jesus. He has changed my life, and I want to tell the world about that. May you bless them and stir in them a great zeal for you and a great excitement of this time. And would you bless us together as we are witnesses to them being witnesses of you. And may we all be stirred up toward love and good deeds out of this incredible opportunity we have together. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.